Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time once again. Unfortunately, a day later than we normally do, but that's okay. Still a thorough breakdown of the scouting combine is coming your way now that we know who helped themselves, who hurt themselves, and more. We'll also dive into the linebackers today as our position series continues. He's the star of the show. I'm still amazed more people don't know how good Fran Duffy is at what he does. He's at FDuffy3. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. They were kind of the Super Bowl champs. No big deal. I'm former NFL offensive lineman Ross Tucker. A bunch of different podcasts that a lot of people enjoy. Fantasy Feast with Evan Silva from RotoWorld talking fantasy football. Even Money with Steve Fezzik from pregame.com talking about gambling on all kinds of different sports, as well, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Business of Sports with Andrew Brand, if you want kind of the executive angle, is over at rostucker.com as well. We are presented by the Scouting Academy because it makes perfect sense, because if you're listening to this podcast, you are very curious about the draft. Maybe some of you have thought you'd want to get involved, give it a chance sometime, try to start a new career. Maybe others of you just want to learn more. They have had over 500 students at this point come through the Scouting Academy and learn from guys like Lewis Riddick, like Wade Phillips, like Mike Martz and Chris Palmer and Jerry Angelo and all of these guys. It is the only academy, the only place of its kind that really gets you ready to either be an NFL scout, work for an NFL team, or even head up a college personnel department. Dan Hatman is the man, Jets, Giants, Eagles. We talked about it. We'll tell you again, they're offering $50 off summer registration to Ross Tucker Football Podcast listeners. Just make sure you click through the Scouting Academy link over at rostucker.com. Obviously, you guys as well, College Draft listeners, just click on the Scouting Academy link on the sponsors page over at rostucker.com. All right, Fran, so let's start with the combine stuff. You were there the entire time. You were there for a week, so you had a lot of conversations with people. You also got a chance to see these guys working out. Let's kind of go by position, the guys that really were impressive at the combine in your mind, and we'll start at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I would say the two most impressive guys in my mind during the quarterback workout were Baker Mayfield, who, you know, watching him throw for the first time live, the ball really came out of his hand well. And I had heard that. We've talked about that on this podcast in the past, where people that had seen him throw live, whether that was at Oklahoma at practice, whether it was at a game live or at the Senior Bowl, they say that the ball just looks a lot better coming out of his hand live than it does on tape. And that honestly carried suit for me. I was pretty impressed with his workout. He didn't have any really bad misses on the day. And then Josh Allen as well, I thought, was really impressive. I expected that going in. Have talked with some people who have watched him work out, and the kid obviously has outstanding arm talent. He had a bad first miss on the opening throw. It was a quick slant to his left, and he airmailed it over the receiver's head, and everybody kind of looked at each other like, oh, man, what's going to happen here? But after that, everything was pretty good. You know, some of the balls came out a little bit late. I'm not really worried about that. He's working with new receivers. Just being able to see him throw, I thought those two guys were the guys that were most impressive.
What about at running back? I think, obviously, Saquon Barkley, we all kind of understand. Yep. It's just, I've seen some advanced metrics or whatever that say that they suggest he had, like, the best combine ever.
Yeah, I mean, mainly because he came in at 233 pounds. And so when you come in at that size and you run 4.41, you know, we've seen a lot of these the weight-adjusted athletic scores come out, you know, whether they've been going back as far as, like, ESPN and Football Outsiders used to do the speed score for running backs and things like that. Now, obviously, the big one now is the Spark done over by Three Sigma Athlete. And You know, when it comes to how big a guy is and seeing him test that way was just really impressive. You know, whether it was the 4.41 in the 40, the 41-inch vertical, the 121-inch broad, I mean, all these numbers were really, really impressive. And not just on its face, but then also considering his size. So Saquon, obviously, is a guy that really stood out. Nyheim Hines is a player we talked about last week, is someone I expected to test very well, a track guy, played receiver and running back during his career. Obviously had the 4.38, and then also did a pretty good job across the board as well, outside of a couple numbers here and there. I thought Nyheim Hines had a good workout. Staying at the running back spot, Nick Chubb had a better workout than a lot of people were expecting. I was really happy to see that because, as you guys know, listening, I'm a big fan of Nick Chubb, so being able to see him test very well, I thought was really good to see. And then the big surprise may have been Justin Jackson, the running back from Northwestern. We haven't really talked about Jackson much since the summer, and he was on a lot of people's radar entering the year, has carried the ball a ton over the last couple seasons. So how much tread does he have left in the tires? I guess we'll see. But he ran very well, tested very well across the board. He was probably the biggest surprise of the running back position.
Wide receivers, how about DJ Moore from Philly, from Imhotep Charter? I think he opened some eyes.
He did. He was a top three receiver going into the weekend for me, and I think he solidified himself in that spot. You're talking about a guy who's 210 pounds, so going back to the Saquon discussion, it's very similar. He came in with pretty good size. He's 6 foot tall, right on the number, so you know, he's not overly tall, but he's a well-built kid. I think he's got a good idea as a route runner. I had a chance to talk with him for a few minutes on Friday, and I was really impressed with him personally, and I've heard nothing but good things off the field. But then across the board, I thought that he really tested well. And then even in position drills, he made things look very easy. You know, you go to Cortland Sutton, another guy from SMU, came in very big, you know, 6'3", 218 pounds. He's got long arms. The 4.55, people say, oh, you know, that's not a great number. For a guy that big, I think that's a win for me with Cortland Sutton to say, okay, he ran 4.55. The rest of his test numbers were very, very good, and he made things look easy again in drills. I thought he caught pretty much everything thrown his way. He looked really good in the gauntlet drill. The rest of the routes that he ran, I thought he was pretty good throughout the day. DJ Chark obviously ran the blazing 40-yard dash time, the 4.34. We expected him to run well, and I thought he caught the pass as well in the drills as well. Antonio Callaway from Florida, I thought had a very good day. Ran in the low 4.4s, also looked good in position drills. So yeah, that was really big for him. Obviously, he's got the off-field stuff he's going to have to work through, but a guy that tested very well across the board. And then the big surprise for everybody, Dylan Cantrell from Texas Tech. We talked a little bit about Cantrell during the season because we've talked about that trio of Texas Tech receivers with Kiki Kutif, the junior who declared, as well as Cameron Batson. Dylan Cantrell came in at just under 6'3", 226 pounds. The 40-yard dash wasn't great, but everything else was outstanding, especially for a guy that size. So a lot of people, I think, are going to be going back to the film to see what Dylan Cantrell can do, because I think coming into the week, people thought maybe he's a tight end convert. Now, I don't think you're going to be hearing too much of that, and he caught the ball very well in drills as well.
Let's get to tight ends. I had told you that Mike Gesicki was going to put up some numbers. I don't know that I thought that they'd be that good, but I knew he was. You know, I had heard from my Penn State sources that he was a freak show.
Yeah, I think we all kind of expected the jumps to be good. That was the one number that, you know, I think Bruce Feldman had written about that in the past, that he was going to be really good in the broad and in the vertical. I didn't expect the 40 to be that good, and I certainly did not expect the shuttle test times to be that good. And that was to me the most impressive mark. We've talked about this tight end class a lot, saying, you know, it's a good group overall, a lot of really interesting players, but the top-end athletes that we saw last year, we weren't going to really see that this year. Gesicki ended up posting what's going to go down as one of the historically best workouts in the tight end position in the history of the combine. So to me, he was the big winner in terms of the workouts at the tight end spot.
How about the offensive lineman?
Yeah, Colton Miller. Really, it comes down to two guys that we kind of knew were going to test well, and that's Colton Miller from UCLA, the junior, and then Brian O'Neill, the redshirt junior from Pitt. Both those guys have position versatility in that they can play both left and right tackle, and both guys are known for their athleticism. Both guys looked really good on the move. They tested very well across the board, and then even in drills looked really good as well. And then one guy, Ross, that I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet, but I was really intrigued just watching him move during position drills, was Greg Sinnott from Wagner. He was at the East-West game. Didn't get a chance to study him coming in, but he came in 6'6", 305 pounds. He's got pretty good length. I was really impressed. by the way that he moved and drilled. So I'm excited to go back and study him a little bit more.
Let's dive into some of the defensive linemen as well.
Yeah, Taven Bryan, to me, of the interior guys, was really impressive. Rasheem Green from USC, we expected him to test very well. You know, he's under 280 pounds, so he's got to be able to test well for those interior guys, and he did that. James Looney from Cal, we talked about him a little bit in the season. He's a guy I do kind of like him. He played 3-4 defensive end. Not sure that he's that guy at the next level, but I'm really intrigued by him, and he had a really good workout. And then Harrison Phillips, I mean, it wasn't all pretty, but you look at the guy, and he's honestly, it's funny, I've said this to a couple people, and a couple people actually said it to me as well. He's like the defensive version of Quentin Nelson. Like, he's just a big barrel-chested, you know, thick thighs. He's got no neck, and he just looks the part of an interior guy that you want in the trenches for you. And he looked good in the workout. He moved really easy. Looked very natural on the move in the position drills. I was pretty impressed with Harrison Phillips from Stanford as well.
How about at the edge, guys?
Yeah, I would say the most impressive ones were Harold Landry from Boston College, which was really good to see because a lot of people were really high on him coming into the season, including myself. So it was good to see him work out well. He looks like he's fully healthy coming off the injury that kind of bothered him throughout the course of his senior year. Josh Sweat from Florida State had a really good workout, again, for a guy that's his size, you know, 6'5", 250 pounds. He's got really good length. Had a 1.55 10-yard split, which was really, really good. The broad jump and vertical jump numbers were very good. So seeing a guy that big, and he's coming off, he had a knee injury 2 years ago that I'm not sure he was all the way back from this year. You know, he labored a little bit on film. He looks healthy now, and so that was really good to see the kid from Florida State test well. Lorenzo Carter, who, you know, some people weren't sure, is he going to be an edge guy? Is he going to be a stand-up off the ball guy? Talking to him on Saturday, he said he's a pass rusher, and he wants to be able to get after the quarterback, whether it's in a 4-3 or a 3-4. Came in at 250 pounds, respectable weight for what people expected. And he goes out and he runs a 4.46 at 250. I mean, it was just a really impressive workout from Lorenzo Carter. And then two guys, Sam Hubbard and Kylie Fitz, also tested well across the board, but particularly in that 3-cone, which a lot of people place a lot of extra value on that drill specifically for those edge rushers.
How about at the linebacker level? I know we're gonna preview linebackers today, but still.
Yes. Yeah. Shaquin Griffin, obviously, you know, I don't really know how much I can say. I mean, the kid was just had an outstanding workout from start to finish this weekend. So he's a guy who obviously ran very well. Everyone knows about the bench press as well. Just an outstanding performance, an inspirational performance from the senior from Central Florida. Leighton Vander Esch came in a lot bigger than I think people expected. I mean, he's up almost to 260 pounds, 256 pounds. He's over 6'4". He's got a freakish wingspan. And then he had a great workout on top of it. So you're hearing a lot of buzz that Leighton Vander Esch could go mid round one, you know, towards the latter end of round one, but that he won't be there in the second round. And that's going to be really interesting. I'm excited to watch more of him. The more people you talk to, the more you hear that people really like him. Fred Warner from BYU tested pretty well. Not quite as well as I would have liked, but still a very good score across the board for Fred Warner. He came in at over 6'3", 236 pounds, was a pass rusher at BYU in terms of playing off the edge in their 3-4 scheme. I think he's more of an off-the-ball guy, but I was really excited to see him work out. And then Oren Burks from Vanderbilt. Watching him on film, I wasn't really impressed with his athleticism, even though he is a former safety that they converted to linebacker. He tested like a former safety on Saturday because he had one of the better workouts at the linebacker spot. So at 6'3", 230 pounds with long arms, that was a big workout for Oren Burks from Vandy.
Okay, let's get to the DBs then.
Yeah, Jair Alexander had one of the best workouts across the board. The kid from Louisville, I expected him to test well. He came in a little bit undersized, 5'10", 196 pounds. His arms aren't quite as long as a lot of people would like, and that'll eliminate him from some boards, but ran 4.38 in the 40. The rest of the test numbers were very good, and then looked very fluid, looked very good in position drills. I talked to him on Sunday. I was impressed with him personally. He's a really confident kid. I'm excited to continue to watch more of him. I know he was bothered. I think it was a hamstring injury that kind of hampered him throughout the year. Denzel Ward had one of the best workouts as well. Obviously, ran that blazing 40-yard dash time that a lot of people are excited about, 4.32. He did come in at 183 pounds. It was a little bit on the small side, but certainly an impressive athlete. And then you go to the safety spot. Justin Reed from Stanford, who was one of the more impressive guys at the podium on Sunday, he tested very well for a safety. Godwin Igwebike from Northwestern had a really good workout that a lot of people weren't necessarily expecting. I know I was not expecting that from Godwin Igwebike. And then tell me more about Troy Apke, man. I haven't watched him at all. I don't know what your exposure has been to him with Penn State, but he had one of the best workouts as well. Across every number for him across the board was like in the 90th percentile for safeties drafted in the last decade. So he had a really, really strong workout, 6'1", just 200 pounds. But is he a guy that stood out to you at all when you were watching Penn State over the last couple of years?
So he came to school as a wide receiver. Okay. He was a track star in high school.
All right, he won
the 100 meters in Western Pennsylvania. So he has that track background. Was that wide receiver. He actually burned his red shirt like his last four games because they needed him on special teams. So
pretty
unselfish that he would do that.
That's awesome.
For four games on special teams, he burned his red shirt. And then he was stuck behind some other guys the last couple years. He played in some packages in 2016, but not much. Played a lot on special teams. And then this year was a starting safety who played a lot in the middle of the field because they had Marcus Allen as more of the box guy. He does not I wouldn't say he plays like a 4-3 guy, if that makes sense. I mean,
sure.
He's athletic, and he had a nice year, but and he'll hit you. He's pretty good in coverage. He's a smart kid. He looks to me like a guy that makes a team as a backup safety special teamer, and then maybe works his way in. But he clearly has the physical ability to be a difference maker on special teams.
Yeah, no, it certainly comes off that way. I'm excited to go back. And honestly, I have to do work on that whole Penn State secondary still, you know, between him and Marcus Allen and, you know, Christian Campbell, all those guys. So Apke will be a guy I'm definitely excited to watch more of.
Let's get to another list you have, which I like. It's called the Don't Panic List. Tell me about this.
Just, you know, there have been, obviously, when you come out of the combine, a lot of people point to certain numbers or will point to a workout and say, like, oh, you know, how far is this guy going to drop down the board? And I think with these guys, and maybe it's just my own bias on these specific players, but I'd like to pump the brakes on some of the takes that are being thrown around. And, you know, you look at the quarterback position. You know, a lot of people looked at Josh Rosen's workout and looked, did he have some bad balls in the workout? Sure, he absolutely he did. But overall, I'm not worried about Josh Rosen on the field. A lot of the questions we've talked about have been things with off the field and his personality, you know, and obviously the medical as well. So you look at Josh Rosen, I wasn't worried at all after watching him throw. Lamar Jackson, same thing. I thought, yeah, did he have a great day? No, I saw him have some bad misses, not even before the workout even started, but also just going through warm-ups. You know, did he have some misses? Sure. But I thought he looked the part. You know, I thought the release was fine. I thought his footwork looked better than I anticipated. He threw some of the best balls of the workout overall. I was pretty impressed with Lamar Jackson coming out of that workout on Saturday morning.
Running backs?
Mark Walton would be the guy. You know, a lot of people, I think, were expecting him to come out and kind of leg things up from an athletic standpoint. The numbers were pretty pedestrian, but first of all, you got to take into account that he's coming off that ankle injury, which was a full break. So he didn't say it, but he may not be 100% healthy. We don't know that for sure. And also just talking to him, the kid's got a really good head on his shoulders. I was pretty impressed with him in his press conference as well. So I'm not at all worried about Mark Walton. You go to the receiver spot, everybody is a little bit worried about Calvin Ridley and, you know, the 40 time, or not even the 40 time. The 40 time was pretty good, but the rest of his athletic scores, you know, were a little bit down. I spoke with a lot of DBs on Sunday, Ross, and one of the questions I asked all the SEC guys was, you know, a lot of people down on Calvin Ridley. You know, he only jumped 31 inches in the vert. You know, the poor short shuttle time, and they all just laughed, they scoffed, and there's like, look, you line up across Calvin Ridley, you know that you're in for a day, and I'm not at all worried about his, you know, the way he tests. I see a good athlete on tape, and I think he's going to be that at the next level. Same thing with Christian Kirk. The 40 time was very good. I think people expected to be even a little bit slower than what he ran. But across the board, the other shuttle times and things like that, not what people expected considering his skill set. I'm not worried about Christian Kirk. We've talked about these combine drills before, Ross. I think it's a lot harder for a good athlete or for a bad athlete to test well than it is for a good athlete to just kind of have a bad day or a bad rep on a drill and, you know, affect this time. I'm not worried about those guys as much moving forward.
Tight end?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, Dallas Goedert, you know, he didn't test. Is he going to be able to test beforehand? He got hurt on the first day at the Senior Bowl. So what is he going to look like? He came in at just under 260 pounds. Is that too big? You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about Dallas Goedert. I'm still full steam ahead on that kid. I think he's one of the better tight end prospects in this draft. We'll see where he ultimately ends up, if he does make it into the first round or if he's more of a day two guy. But I'm not too worried overall about Dallas Goedert.
O-line?
Mike McGlinchey would be the guy for me. And I've said for a while, he's my number one tackle. A lot of people weren't overly impressed with his workout. I will say that he was nursing a hamstring injury. Dude, I had talked to him for the first time on, I guess it was Thursday morning. He's like Superman. Like, he was one of the most impressive combine interviews I think I've ever done. You know, at media availability, he was really, really, really impressive. To me, I just look at him. I think that he's one of the safer picks in this draft, and feel really good about how high his floor is, and him being a future NFL starter.
Let's get to the defense a little bit. What about the D line?
Yeah, we'll go with defensive tackle Derek Nnadi. I didn't really expect him to test well. He didn't test well. It wasn't a terrible workout. I thought the position drills, he looked pretty good. So I'm not too worried overall about Derek Nnadi. And then I'm going to say Bradley Chubb as well. I've seen a lot of people asking on Twitter, oh, you know, the three cone time wasn't great for Bradley Chubb. I mentioned earlier, a lot of people put emphasis on that three cone. He ran a 7.37, obviously not ideal. He's 270 pounds. I mean, he's a bigger guy. So when you take his weight into account, I think that that'll explain some things. And I don't think he's like this plus athlete anyway. So I'm still pretty high on Bradley Chubb. I think he'll still be the first pass rusher off the board.
Edge?
Yeah, I think the Chubb for sure would go in there. I think people would have liked to see Duke Ejiofor work out. He had torn labrum surgery after the season, and a lot of people questioned his athleticism. We're not going to be able to see him work out on tape. I talked to him on Saturday, and he said that he's expecting to be ready before training camp. So you're hoping to see him take the field. And then just wrapping it up, you know, linebacker Josie Jewell, no one expected Josie Jewell to go out and have an outstanding workout. So, you know, the below average athletic scores aren't going to worry me. And then Jordan Thomas, the corner from Oklahoma, if we're going to go to defensive back, didn't run the 40 well. People are all, you know, how fast is he? He's going to be able to play on the outside, this, that, and the other. I did not expect Jordan Thomas to run fast. You know, his long speed is a question on tape, but his quickness is pretty good. And he goes out and he breaks the record for the three cone for the combine. I ran a 6.28, which is like, obviously it's a combine record. So a really, really impressive number for the corner from Oklahoma, which was good to see.
You have another list, Fran, which is the wish you saw more list. Let's start at quarterback.
Yeah, the two quarterbacks I thought that I walked away just feeling a little bit underwhelmed with the workout were Luke Falk and Mason Rudolph. The ball just didn't come out of their hands the way it did some of these other top prospects. You know, I didn't expect some of these other guys that were there to have great workouts. I was expecting the ball to come out a little bit better from both their hands. I still like both guys. Both are great kids off the field, and you know, they do have the ability to throw with accuracy, and especially Falk in like the short and intermediate area. But I was a little bit underwhelmed overall from their arm talent when they had to stretch the field. Running back, I'm going to go Akram Wadley. And the only reason is that I thought the numbers were decent across the board, but he came in at really, really small. And to me, if you're going to be that size, you know, he came in at 194 pounds, you got to be a special athlete. And that's something that I think will worry some people moving forward. At wide receiver, Auden Tate, you know, the workout was not very good. Overall, I will say that his position drills, the good catch, just anything in his catch radius, he's going to pluck it out of the air and make it look really easy. He did that on Saturday morning, but, you know, came in at 6'5", 228. The 40-yard dash time was just under 4.7. He didn't jump well. He didn't test in the agilities, which I imagine would not look good either. So the workout was very underwhelming. Wouldn't surprise me at all, Ross, if we start to hear some people talk about him as a potential tight end down the road along the offensive line. Look, we all know about the Orlando Brown workout. I don't know what you make of it. We didn't expect him to test well. If he had just had a bad workout, I think we would say, okay, that's fine. This was like obviously a historically bad workout, so that's why you're getting all this attention for it. But not a good workout for Orlando Brown. And then Sean Welsh, the interior guy from Iowa, I was hoping to see a little bit more from him. Didn't seem to have a lot of pop from him on contact, even when He was striking the pads, and obviously not a very good workout either from an athletic standpoint at just 300 pounds. Was hoping to see a little bit more from a kid that I kind of liked on tape, that I was hoping to see a little bit more of. You go to the defensive side, Eddie Wilson and John Atkins were two of the least impressive defensive tackles in my mind when you look at the athletic scores. Dorrance Armstrong off the edge, kind of like Sean Welsh at his size. I would have liked to see him test a little bit better than he did. I thought he looked decent in drills, but overall the testing I would have liked to see a little bit more. Same thing goes for Azeem Victor, a guy that I think would probably hang his hat on his athleticism. The test scores were just not what would you would hope to see from a guy with his skill set. And then in the secondary, Tavarius McFadden did not run well, and I think he kind of needed a good workout because the tape is a little bit up and down. I think he's got all the physical traits on film. He's one of the biggest corners in this draft. He came in over 6'2", 204 pounds, but he ran just under 4.7. That's not going to get it done, and so that's going to be something he's certainly going to try and improve on. It is pro day. Greg Stroman from Virginia Tech is a guy who's a little bit undersized. I think he projects well as a nickel. And when you look at some of these other interior guys, some of these other slot corners, they tested well. Greg Stroman did not test well. And I think that that's going to be something that could hurt him in the long run. And then at the safety spot, Rashawn Golden, who from Tennessee is a junior. A lot of people think is he a corner? I talked to him. He thinks he's a safety in base packages with the ability to come down and play in the slot, and did not have a good workout. And that's going to worry some people for a guy who's just under 6'1", 197 pounds, which is very light for a safety. That's going to concern some people overall is his athleticism. Will he be able to hold up against some of the more dynamic slot receivers in the NFL?
I love it. Let's get to the linebackers. It's Daddy Soda time. Daddy Soda. Your favorite. Bri, you asleep at the wheel.
Daddy Sodas.
There we go. All right. We're getting to the linebacker preview. We've already done D-line. Your favorite linebacker to watch on tape, Fran?
It would be Roquan Smith from Georgia. 6'1", 236 pounds. He had a pretty good workout over the weekend, but you watch him on film. There are some times, Ross, where I think he's a little bit slow to read things, and that does have me a little bit concerned. It reminds me a little bit of Jatavis Brown, the kid from Akron, who ended up with the Chargers, who has been very productive throughout his career, but there are times still where he's a little bit late to react to things. That worries me a little bit with Roquan, but I love everything about his game. He's a well-built kid. Spoke to him on Saturday, was pretty impressed with him in person. He's really physical. When he does see things quickly, you see how decisive he is. He's able to attack a block, defeat it, and find the football. He can play in coverage. The production in coverage wasn't great, but he's got the athleticism to be able to do it. I'm a fan of Roquan Smith. He can play sideline to sideline. He's my favorite guy of this class to watch on film.
Who's a guy that you think is underrated by the media for some reason?
Yeah, that's Jerome Baker to me. You're from Ohio State. He's 6'1". He's just under 230 pounds, so he's a little bit undersized, but he's a great athlete for the position, tested that way in the drills that he took part in over the weekend. And, I watched him, and there are some times, again, going back to Roquan, there are some times where I think he doesn't really read his keys all that well, but I think he's a guy who is such a good athlete that at times he's able to overcome that. And would I prefer that he have better instincts than athleticism? Sure. But I think he's one of those guys where the athleticism is able to overcome it a little bit. And he's going to need to get a little bit bigger. But look, he's bigger than a guy like Deion Jones was coming out of LSU. I had some similar questions about Deion Jones, and he's turned into a really good player for the Atlanta Falcons. And I think Baker is kind of cut from the same mold. He's a guy that I expect to have a lot of NFL success in the future.
How about a guy that you like, but for whatever reason, there's something about him that scares you?
Yeah, that would be Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. And I understand the people that really, really like him and have him high because, he's 6'4", he's 253 pounds. He's got longer arms than any linebacker drafted since 2007. I mean, his wingspan is eye-popping, and he tested very well for a guy that size. But that being said, I want to see a guy at his size be able to play off of blocks at a higher rate than he does. I want to see a guy see things a little bit faster. The one thing he's got going for him is he doesn't turn 20 until the spring. He's going to be a 20-year-old rookie. So you look at him and you say, okay, there's room to grow here. He seems like a really good kid off the field. I spoke with him a little bit. He seems like he kind of gets it. So you kind of hope he's able to, with more coaching, and that he's going to be able to get a little bit better. But that's the big thing that scares me because I do think that overall, he's a guy that's more of a straight line guy. He didn't take part in the change of direction drills at the combine, so we didn't get to see how he looked in those shuttles. I think he's a little bit straight line-ish, but he can play sideline to sideline, and his highlights are very, very good. I just wish I saw a little bit more of him being able to play at the point of attack.
Let's get to somebody who you think is the safest player at the linebacker position.
Yeah, I think almost from like an opposite standpoint, you look at the way that Rashawn Evans from Alabama is. He's really good at playing off blocks. And this was his second year playing as an inside linebacker. He was an edge player for Alabama to start his career. So they made the switch going into his junior season. I thought he was a little bit up and down. But watching him as a senior, he saw things a lot quicker. He was able to come down, play off the point of attack. He's really physical, taking on a lead block. And then he can finish as a tackler. I think he's a pretty good coverage player. I talked to him. I was really impressed with him in person. He's got special teams background, so he's got the ability to help there as well. I'm a big fan of Rashawn Evans. I think that he's one of the better linebackers in this class. And to me, he's got a high floor because at the very least, I think he can be a really good backup and special teams guy and really hold that role for a long, long time and feel good about it. So I'm a big fan of Rashawn Evans. I think he's got a really bright future.
How about a guy that you really think is tied into a specific scheme?
Yeah, we talked about Fred Warner earlier from BYU, and I really like him as a potential weak side backer, whether it's in a 4-3 or a 3-4. I think you let him roam, let him play in space. If you're a team that likes to do a lot of pattern match zone read coverage on the back end with using your linebackers, you think to like a New England, I think back to like a Minnesota, I think to what Oakland has done in the past. You use those linebackers in space. I think he can do a really good job in that kind of scheme as well because he's done a little bit of that at BYU. I'm excited about Fred Warner. He's a guy that I think will be available probably on the third day of the draft, and he can offer somebody a lot of value later.
All right, now let's get to, I love this, a day three gem, a guy that you don't think gets drafted till Saturday, but you really like.
Yeah, I mentioned it with Fred Warner, and I think the kid Joel Iebuniwe from Western Kentucky is very similar. You know, 6'1", 230 pounds, so a little bit on the undersized side, but a really athletic kid. He can come downhill and attack the point of attack very much, honestly, similar to like a Telvin Smith coming out of Florida State. You know, he's undersized, but he's physical, he's aggressive, he's instinctive, he's got the ability to come downhill, he can play in coverage, he can work through traffic. I'm a big fan of Iebuniwe, and I think he's got a pretty bright future. I don't think he's going to go off the board in the first couple rounds, so I think he could be there once day three arrives.
Three for one. You got three guys you want to say one more thing about for whatever reason.
Yep. Leighton Vander Esch, we talked about a little bit earlier. I think he's going to end up going in the first round of this draft, Ross. I've watched two games, and I've been pretty impressed so far. I think that he is a guy that a lot of people that I respect that do a lot of film study really, really like him. So I'm excited to go back and do a lot more on him. But he's a big kid with good instincts. And really, when you talk about the linebacker spot, it really can come down to speed, toughness, and instincts. I know that's an Ozzie Newsome thing. And Vander Esch checks all three of those boxes. So you know, he's a player that I think will be coveted by the time we get to April's draft. And then Jack Sitchie from Wisconsin is a player that I think offers some similar things. He's 6'2", he's 238, a little bit light, but a guy who was a former walk-on, turned team captain, really tough. I watched him against Iowa as a junior play through a torn pec for like two full quarters before the trainers basically had to drag him off the field. Really physical. He can come downhill and play the run, and he's really good in coverage too. He's got a really good mind for playing in pass coverage. I'm a big fan of Jack Sitchie. And then lastly, Shaquin Griffin. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be like a mid-day three pick just because of all the factors. But a player that obviously you're rooting for, and obviously I wouldn't bet against because he's got that safety background. Teams are working him out at defensive back, but he's got sideline-to-sideline speed. He's got a high motor. He's wore a lot of hats for Central Florida throughout his career. At the very least, I think he could be an ace special teamer. He just has to be able to prove that he can defeat blocks at the NFL level, both on special teams and on defense. If he can do that, I think he's going to turn into a nice player. But if he can't, obviously that's going to keep him from reaching that ceiling. So that's going to be the big thing, that once he arrives in an NFL camp, he's going to have to prove that, A, he can defeat blocks on a consistent basis, and then, B, that he can get ball carriers to the ground, whether that's Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson and Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, or if it's, you know, some of these explosive returners in special teams. I mean, he's got to show that he can get those guys to the ground one-on-one. But overall, I would not root against this kid. I'm really, really excited to track him and his success.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't I wouldn't bet against him either. What an impressive guy he is.
It's unbelievable.
On so many levels. It really is inspirational, kind of like Andrew Hawkins was. A little different, yeah. But in terms of being inspirational on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Monday. You can always catch Fran on social media. At FDuffy3 is his Twitter, where you can see the other stuff he's got going with the Eagles and the journey to the draft over at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Certainly, we've got a bunch of different podcasts for you here, like the Even Money Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Business of Sports, that we encourage you to check out. And, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We will continue to have some great guests and go through all of the positional previews heading up to the draft in late April right here on the College Draft Podcast. Can't tell you how much we appreciate when you retweet Fran at FDuffy3 or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or Brian at RTF Podcast, or even a like on Facebook for you Facebook dudes, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. 5-star ratings are obviously huge for us on iTunes as well. Other than that, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hello, guys. It's MMA fighter Chael Sonnen. Check out my podcast, You're Welcome, with Chael Sonnen every Wednesday and Friday right here at Podcast One. We cover the latest in mixed martial arts and everything else going on in the world of sport. Listen free to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, at PodcastOne.com, and on the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.